Dr. LaFleur, I understand that the University of Tennessee at Martin's 14th Annual Civil Rights Conference is one of only two in the nation at public universities.
And while we're one of only two, we are the oldest of these types of conferences.
The conference this year culminates this Thursday with a very special guest. I wonder how you'd like to start highlighting the events.
Well, our theme this year is the 50th anniversary of Mississippi Freedom Summer, which took place in 1964. In 1952, less than 5% of voting-age blacks were registered to vote in Mississippi. Through fear, intimidation, and literacy tests, African Americans were strongly discouraged and prevented from voting. And so in 1964, masses of people went to Mississippi to try and help them register to vote. And our keynote speaker this year is Dave Dennis, and he was the co-coordinator of Mississippi Freedom Summer. And so he played an integral role in this massive voter registration drive. But these registration drives faced with a considerable violence and repression from white Southerners in Mississippi. And in fact, three civil rights workers were murdered while they were there. And Dave Dennis had to give a eulogy for one of these workers. And his eulogy demonstrates the frustration with trying to extend the right to vote to people who rightly had it, but facing with considerable violence and repression and resistance from the power structure in Mississippi.
That event must surely have been seared into Mr. Dennis's soul for all times.
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. We are also having a number of other speakers that will be talking about their experiences with voter registration during the Civil Rights Movement on Thursday at 1 o'clock. We have a panel of three white activists in the Southern Movement, and two of them were involved in Mississippi Freedom Summer, and one of them was involved in voter registration in Fayette County here in Tennessee. Mississippi Freedom Summer's anniversary leads us into talking about voting rights as a whole, not only in the 1960s, but the importance of voting rights today.
The importance of voting rights today, it continues to be an issue in the country. Primarily for me, it's the issue of the inconvenience of voting now and the inability to vote on the weekend or vote for a week, you know, that kind of making a window. But I'm thinking there are also racist issues still in play today.
Yes, especially concerning the voter ID laws that Tennessee has now instituted. There are clear evidence in some cases that the populations that are adversely affected by voter ID laws are minorities and poor people. And so it's making it difficult for these individuals to vote.
What's the remedy?
The remedy is, well, I see two possible remedies. One is getting rid of voter ID laws, or the other remedy is making it easier for people to get voter IDs. In some way, we have to make the access to voting easier, as the examples you already gave of having extended voting periods, of being able to register when you go to vote, or having easier absentee ballots. One problem that we face here at our university, and I'm sure your listeners at Murray also have this, of students who live in one city and aren't sure if they should vote in the city where they are in school or their home address where their parents live. And so there's a lot of confusion among some people of what voter laws are. And so I think we need a good education campaign, and that's something we're working on with the conference, is to educate people on their voting rights. On Thursday at 2:30 p.m., we have a voting rights panel presenting the student perspective on voting rights and what it means to vote today and what are the issues that face students today in voting.
I'm interested as well in the Tuesday night program of percussion.
Oh, yes, Roots of Rhythm. That is a wonderful program. Dr. Julie Hill and her percussion students put on a tremendous display, translating and seeing the movement of drum rhythms from Africa along the slave trade. So she looks at them in Africa, different parts of Africa, and then how they influence rhythms in Latin America and in the United States. It's a very interactive program. She gets you clapping your hands along with the drum beats. The students are walking around the auditorium and interacting with the audience. It's very child-friendly. It's quite a bit of fun.
And tell me about, first of all, I guess we should clarify that all of these sessions at the University of Tennessee at Martin are open to the community.
Yes, they are. They're open to the community, and all of them are free, with the exception of the Roots of Rhythm program. There is a $5 admission fee to that for non-students, and for students, it's a dollar.
And the best place for our listeners to seek information as to times and locations online is what?
They can visit our website, which is www.utm.edu/civil rights.
Tell me about Dr. Yohuru Williams.
Dr. Williams is a noted civil rights historian who focuses on Black Power and the Black Panther Party, among other things. He's actually opening the main day of the conference at 9:30 on Thursday morning, and he'll be speaking about the significance of the civil rights movement. We have a conference every year devoted to the civil rights movement for the last 14 years. And Dr. Williams will be talking about why we should have a conference every year for the last 14 years and why we should continue having conferences like this, the contributions that the civil rights movement has made to us today and the inspiration that it provides, and that in many ways the civil rights movement isn't over.
I note that he's written several works on the Black Panther Party, and he's currently completing a book titled 6 Degrees of Segregation, mm-hmm. Lynching, Capital Punishment, and Jim Crow Justice, 1865 to 1960. That's a compelling title.
It is. There's been quite a bit of work in the last 15 years or so emphasizing the Black Power and Black Panther side of the civil rights movement. Most people are very familiar with Martin Luther King Jr. and nonviolence, and Black Power and the Black Panther Party are things that people are less likely to talk about because they're associated with violence, and new historians, younger historians like Dr. Williams are trying to reframe the discussion to not have these individuals marginalized, but rather they're an important part of the Black experience and an important part of civil rights.
It seems to me that Malcolm X has been somewhat marginalized as years have passed.
Yes, he has, and for the similar reasons, that he is so often associated with violence, that he called white people white devil, and that's what most people think about when they think about Malcolm X. But he provided much more to the African American experience than any sort of language of violence. But he talked a lot about Black pride and being proud of who you were and where you came from, and that you didn't need to assimilate into white culture, but rather you should be proud of who you are. And you can see that carried on then through the Black Power Movement and the Black Panther Party and people like Dr. Williams and even Dr. Mark Anthony Neal, who is our 11 o'clock speaker, also celebrates this idea of Black culture being valuable in and of itself, that it doesn't have to be like white culture.
So we reiterate that the schedule of the University of Tennessee at Martin's 14th Annual Civil Rights Conference is at the University of Tennessee Martin's website, and all you have to do is search on civil rights.
Correct. And at some point there should be some links on the UTM main page for you to take a look at. The conference is something that the university supports very strongly. Almost every college in the university supports this conference. It's something that we're very, very proud of here.
Well, Dr. Renee LaFleur, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.